Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back on the healing side. And certainly that is something that we do in this, our studies on the healing side. Why? Because we're basically a monstrosity. So we have to learn the healing side. And there's protocol and codification and procedures for that. It doesn't come by chance or happenstance. And that's the reason why we do these studies, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Giving you the healing side of this verse and making the right application in doing so. We try to give you a bird's eye view of critical analysis, accurate, intelligent, while leaving no stone in or leaf unturned. To get out of that monstrosity is very well what is needed in these studies. Because if you take a look about us, you have to come with one conclusion, which is we are a monstrosity. We do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. And that's from the males to the females to the children. If you look at the evidence, that's why we love to kill one another. That's why we love to mistreat one another and abuse one another. So by virtue of what the song said, the healing side, but wisdom and understanding provides you that study. Once you apply wisdom and understanding, you will come to some conclusion about that healing side. But if you're doing things kind of contrary to what she provides you, as far as our studies are concerned, you have but one conclusion, to remain a monstrosity, try to get healed. It's just that simple. That being said, I want to thank Sister Abia and thank Brother Cartrell for their assistance in these studies, to provide these studies. And what do I know about them? Basically, one thing, that's all I need to know about them, which is they love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as they love themselves. So that's good enough for the Most High. It's certainly good enough for me. So let me bring them on for you. Sister Abia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
And may Yah bless you too, and all praises and glory to Yah. And while I'm at it, may Yah bless you too, Brother Cartrell, and everyone else out here. And it's good to be back. Shalom.
Shalom. Good to have you back, sister. May the Most High bless you. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
So, shalom, family. May the Most High bless you both. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing? Good to hear your voices.
We're doing okay, brother. How you doing? Good to hear you.
I'm good. Praise Yah. Breath of life. Another day.
Praise Yah.
And do some service.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Well, if there's not additional comments or commentary, we're ready to get to work in third chapter of Zechariah. A lot of you have been misled in your studies to believe this is making reference to the new thing with the red letters. That's simply not the case. You have to be stretching your imagination to get there, because it makes no reference in that regard. And if you make that application, you have to be stretching your mind to just to get there. Okay? Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Godreel, Stabby, y'all ready to put in work?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this is a bit really. What it's basically is doing is using the high priest as a metaphor to speak in regards to the restoration of the nation. And it's not specifically in regards to the high priest, but it's in regards to the restoration of the nation and the restoring of the nation. But using this high priest as a metaphor for that study, because we didn't understand future. Not a living future as we understand it now, and how it applied to us as Yah is making. This man is the catalyst for that. He's the catalyst for this change. I'm going to use him as catalyst for that change.
And Yah, so.
Yes.
You have to know the role of the high priest, because he takes on the sins of the nation and cleanses the nation. Because he is the high priest, he's the closest one to the Most High. So
right.
You can't really have a king or anybody else until the high priest office is established. And
exactly.
Like you said, it's a metaphor. If the high priest is unclean, the whole nation is unclean.
Exactly. And Katja, I'm so appreciative of you making that clarification. So, I mean, you and I have been at this a long time. And by virtue, sometimes we don't understand people that study with us. Has only been with us a short time, and they will understand the dynamics of what's going on here. So thank you for making that clarification.
Okay.
Then Zechariah said, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Elohim. And Satan, standing there, we already know about Satan. He comes and goes, keeping track of man to mankind to undermine him and lead them astray, this angel. And he's standing on the right hand to oppose him.
He's standing where?
Standing on his right hand to oppose him.
Ain't that where they say Jesus be standing, on the right hand of God?
Well, what that said in, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? I have to say no more. If you don't know, now you know.
So do you know that that name, Satan, is a Hebrew name?
Yeah, what does it mean, Katria?
It means adversary.
Okay. Well, we know he is an adversary. Well, he's standing on the right hand of the Elohim to oppose all the efforts of the Elohim. I'm glad you pointed that out.
It's kind of like the same scenario that we read in the book of Job, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because Satan got a report to the Most High, don't he?
Exactly. He can't run nothing on
his own. Most High be questioning Satan on what he's doing, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right?
But he's gonna pull the efforts of the Most High, whatever they are. If the Most High said the sky is blue, he's going to say it's dark. So whatever the efforts the Most High is trying to perpetrate, in our regard, in regards to humanity itself, Satan is always on the right side to oppose the efforts of the adversary of the Elohim. Thank you, Carter.
Not only the adversary of the Elohim, but he's the adversary of Yehoshua right now.
Exactly.
Who is standing before the Most High. So why is the adversary there? He's looking at Yehoshua, the high priest.
Exactly. And whatever the Most High is using him as a metaphor for, a futuristic metaphor, he's been an adversary. He's not being a friend of it. Just like our enemies, they despise us, and they're not our friends. And a lot of them subscribe to Satan. And Yah said to Satan, the Elohim rebuked you, Satan. The Elohim who has chosen, what did he say? Who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? This high priest is a brand plucked from the fire. Now, Joseph was clothed, which is us, the brand, was clothed with 50 garments as reflective of our time frame at that time, and we still are. And he was standing before the angel, 50 before the altar. Yeah, that's why we ought to have this mindset. You know, when you come to the Elohim, you should come shamefaced and guilty. You're not as good as you think you are. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the 50 garments from him. Like, y'all going to take away the 50 garments from us? To make him accessible to the Elohim, and vice versa. And he said to him, so, see? Yah said, and he's saying that to us now, and futuristic, it's going to happen. I have removed your iniquity from you. You can't do it. I don't care how many baths you take, how many studies you study. Only the Elohim at the end of the day can remove your iniquity from you. And I don't see nothing about the red letter thing while I'm studying. I will clothe you with rich robes, Yah says. And I let them put a clean turban on his head. And they put the clothes on him, clean clothes. And the angel of the Yah stood by and saluted in humility to the Most High. And he speaks in reference to this metaphor about that branch coming. No, it's not the breath that you think. It's us. And the angel of Yah, admonished Joshua, said, thus said Yah host. Because this is what y'all were doing. That's why you feared it. And I didn't clean you up. You got to put away all this. And you will walk in my ways. Yah said, let my footsteps be your pathways. And you will keep my command. Then you should also judge my house as high priest in the court, and us part of a nation, and likewise have charge of my court. That's the only way this can be reestablished. I will give you places to walk in this restored place among these who stand here, his nation. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, talking to all of us now, as he was speaking to Joshua, you and your companions who sit before you. For they are a wondrous sight. Yah loves them. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. when he speaks in terms of servant, as we studied in our studies, sometimes Yah speak in the singular according to his nation, and sometimes in the plural. But he's speaking, my servant, the branch. He's not meaning in the singular. He's meaning in the plural, but he sees us as a united nation. And we are that branch from our ancients who trespassed by their abomination, their iniquities, and so on and so forth. So he said, well, basically he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to restore this branch, a remnant of it. But I know some of you have been taught to other things. I know some of you have been taught to the new thing. Everything new ain't right. God's not talking about the red letter people in the new book. He's talking about us restored. What did King David say? King David said in Psalm 23, restore my soul for your name's sake. Y'all can do anything. See, y'all minds are limited. Because you're human. I can understand that. But Yah is not limited. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipotent. He can do anything he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, or however. He doesn't need my permission, nor does he need yours. So this is talking about restoring us that remnant, that branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Yahshua, speaking about the high priest, upon the stone of seven eyes. I don't know what they're representative. Yeah, he told me, but it's representative of something. But contrary to me, and elaborate on it. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says Yah of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land. What land is Yah talking about? And one day. Has any iniquity been removed from a land in one day? And Yah said there's a historical period with anything and everything. Well, they tell me it took him 3 days to get off that cross. But it took him 3 days to get off the cross. But hasn't that really been renewed yet? They're still killing, still wars. Nations are still at each other's throat. But I guess they're waiting on heaven, which Yah doesn't make reference to. You invited to heaven in the first place. Yah says, I will remove the iniquity of that land, our land, in one day. Don't take 3 days. And that day, says Yah, everyone will invite his neighbor when I do this. Has neighbors been invited anywhere in our land? That's what Yah is making reference to. Under his vine, under Yah's vine, under his fig tree. Has this happened? In all honesty, and being honest with yourself, this hadn't happened. This is futuristic. This is not an invitation to heaven. This is an invitation back home to your land where Yah said, I will restore everything back to the way it was. I will clean up your next, just like I cleaned up Joshua. I will clean away your people like I did Joshua, which is a metaphor for us as a nation, because as Cartier made reference to, it's about our high priest and his connection with the Elohim. The high priest is the most important connection with the Elohim. And getting that back to functioning as the Most High would have it function, all hands on deck. Everybody got to work in the program. You can't make up programs with Elohim. He's already made up the program. He going to decide the who, what, when, where, and how. But you know, if you see what your interest is, you have some new thing in a new book with red letters, by all means, we're not going to stay. Contrail, may the Most High bless you. Sister Aviyah, may he bless you too.
I just have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Yes,
in 9, when he said, I will engrave that he will engrave the graves. Well,
yeah,
you know where I'm at, right?
Upon
isn't
the
that
stone,
like what we read in the... isn't that like what we read in a previous... chapter and has a someplace that's like the signet ring, right?
I won't speak on something that I'm totally uncertain about. I know that Yah will engrave his inscription, but probably that's why maybe Katriel can give a more in-depth understanding. maybe his studies are more in-depth than mine, and I will submit to him, and perhaps he has something different. Well, I didn't provide anything other than what y'all said about the matter. Perhaps Scott Trail can enlighten us. Thank you, Sister. Okay. Good question.
So you propose a question to me.
Right.
The high priest, you know that he wore breastplates with 12 stones.
Okay.
And the 12 stones represented the 12 tribes.
Exactly.
This is a whole different stone than ever been mentioned before. Because
exactly.
The stone that I have set before Joshua or Yehoshua, whose name means Yah, is salvation. And Yehoshua is one of the sons of Aharon. And what he's going through in this chapter is supernatural, because he's in the presence of the Most High. He's in the presence of angels. He's in the presence of Satan. And he's standing there, right?
Right.
And how is he described? Now, Joshua was told with filthy garments. He's in the presence of Yah, the angel, Satan, and he's with filthy garments. And was standing before the angel. He answered and spoke to those who stood before us, saying, the Most High said, take the filthy garments off of him. To him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich clothing. So this is like outside the matrix that we live in, because this is transpiring in the presence of Yah, the angel, and Satan, like what we saw in the story of Job. So we really don't understand what's going on here. The Most High selected Yehoshua, the Levite from the house of Aaron, to do this. And I don't know too much about the history of Yehoshua, but he was born in a time of King Darius. We read about him in the book of Haggai. Darius.
Oh, okay.
In the book of Haggai 1, it says, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of Yah to Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying. So this is in the time of Haggai, Darius, Zerubbabel, which we read about before, right?
Exactly.
So he's going through a spiritual event. And the prophet Zechariah sees it. He sees what Yah is doing to Yehoshua, the high priest. And he's describing what he's seeing. The previous chapter, he saw the angel measuring out Jerusalem. Now he sees Yah dealing with one of the sons of Aaron. And the Most High is making him a promise. Yehoshua says, here now, Yehoshua, the high priest, you and your fellows who stood before you.
Okay.
For there are men who are assigned. For behold, I will bring out my servant, the branch. And that branch is King David. He's not the root of Judah. He's a branch of Judah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
King David is a branch of Judah. He's not the root of Judah. But he is the king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this branch is talking about King David. And King David is going to come to rule Yah's kingdom when the priests are in place. Because who is it that anoints the king? Who anoints the king?
The high priest.
All right. So you have to have the priest at first in place first before you have your king. Right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So that's why Yah's painting the scenario. He's going to clean the high priest up so he can anoint the branch, the king of Israel, right? That will bring out my servant, the branch, for behold, the stone that I set before Joshua, on one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its engraving, says Yah host, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. So this stone has to deal with the land. The breastplate that the high priest dealt with the 12 tribes of Israel. So whatever this new stone is that has seven eyes is something that has not been introduced before. But the 12 stones and the breastplate of the high priest, he could tell by that breastplate that he had on, which tribe was in trouble. If Benjamin would do something, that breastplate would light up the stone of Benjamin.
Oh, okay.
Cottrell, I'm sure his breastplate would lit up like for the 10 tribes, like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, that breastplate, all 12 tribes lit up all the time.
Yeah, and I'm sure the other tribes, Benjamin and Yehuda, they were bleeding on and off. That was a good clarification about bringing forth the serpent. That's why Yah said to King David in the 23rd chapter of Psalms, restore my soul for your name's sake. It's going to happen, people. It's going to happen. When it happens, we don't know. And by the restoration of the high priest and King David and us, it's all in line. It's all in sync. It has to all be in sync. Praise God. But I want to know what happened, fell in the new day. That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's really not a question. It's rhetorical. But go ahead, Katria, if you will.
So in the beginning of this chapter, we read where this high priest is coming from, right? He ain't coming from no easy breezy situation.
No.
So let me reiterate where this high priest is coming from. And the prophet Zechariah says, he showed me Joshua. So Zechariah is looking at Joshua. Who's Joshua? The high priest. And where's the high priest? He's standing before Yah's angels.
Yeah.
And Satan. That's where Joshua is. Where's he at? He's standing before Yah's angels and Satan. And Zechariah got a bird's eye view, standing at his right hand to be an adversary to Yehoshua. Yah said to Satan, rebuke you, Satan. That's where Christianity gets that saying from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rebuke you, Satan. They think that's a New Testament phrase. No, Yah said it first. Yah said, rebuke you, Satan. Yes, Yah who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Isn't this, he's talking about Yehoshua, a burning stick plucked out of the fire? Where is he coming from?
Out
of the fire of adversity.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where the high priest is coming from. It ain't no easy, breezy role for him. And he's clothed in filthy garments. Y'all had to save the high priest.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Cottrell. Thank you.
And if the high priest is in that situation, how about the rest of the nation?
We are a hot mess, a monstrosity.
Okay.
A monstrosity.
Okay.
All our codifications and processes and procedures, all our studies are. And they're seen as iniquity, an abomination before the Elohim. You can't bring to him what you want. You have to bring to the Elohim what he requires. I don't care what your enemy who despised you told you by way of the Nicene Council and the Roman Catholic Church and the diversified relationships from that, which are simply religions, which are simply indicative. Religion means to divide. It doesn't mean to gather together. So that is to be subject to God of your thought. Religion does not unify. Religion is divine. By way of the Roman Catholics. All right, Cartier. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Sister Abby, are
you ready? Yes, I know what you're about to say. Yes, I'm ready.
You ready? Well, we all ears. May the Most High bless you.
Praise God. Chapter 8, Proverbs. Doest not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the past.
So wisdom and understanding is one.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
That's how I read.
Exactly.
Okay.
She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Hear, for I will sing, and the opening of my lips shall be right thing. For my mouth shall speak truth, and the wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. But you're not going to tell, wisdom to tell no lies, that's for sure. They are plain.
It's not two sides to wisdom.
That's right. That's all truth in that wisdom.
Wisdom is righteous. Wisdom speaks truth. Wickedness is an abomination to wisdom.
Yeah.
So there's no wicked side to wisdom.
They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that they may be desired are not to be compared to it.
So what are people choosing? Are they choosing silver, gold, and rubies, or are they choosing
riches? Most of the people, they're choosing riches. That's the rubies and the gold. Instead of trying to get the wisdom, get obeying the commandments, listening up, get righteous.
What do the scriptures say? For the love?
They say, for wisdom is better.
No. I'm going back to its origin. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It is the beginning.
Yeah.
Getting your priorities wrong.
Do you know why wisdom is better than silver, gold, and ruby?
I would say if you had the wisdom, you would do better. You would have more blessings. You will have that come along, the rubies and the gold after the wisdom, and then you will have enough sense to know how to use your wealth.
I'm going to tell you why wisdom is better than silver. I'm going to tell you why. Wisdom is better than silver, gold, and rubies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going
to tell you why. Because silver, gold, and ruby save you in the day of judgment.
That's right.
And to add on to land back on what Cartrell says, here's what she said why. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. If you want prudence, she dwells with it. And find out knowledge and discretion. Fear of Yah is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way. And a perverse mouth I hate, wisdom says. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I'm understanding. I have strength. I make kings reign, and rulers create real justice. By me, prince rule and nobles. All the judges of the earth by wisdom and understanding. I love those who love me, she says, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, she says. Enduring riches and righteousness, I prove better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the ways of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may call those who love me to inherit real wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. That's what she said.
So,
that's her description.
That's like that's like what I was saying, what I was thinking is that if you got that wisdom, you will be filled with the blessings that come after that.
Praise God. Praise God.
Would you like to finish it off?
No. I ain't putting your word. You take
well,
I just gave her itinerary, how she go about things and her description of herself.
Yeah.
Things are better for you personally speaking, because I got everything going for me. I'm gonna show you the right way. It ain't nothing crooked in what I'm talking about. That's what she said.
So, read verse 14 again. What did y'all say?
Oh.
14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength.
So again, she declares that she is understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
She says, I am wisdom. I am understanding. Wisdom and understanding is both the same thing.
Exactly.
Correct.
And with that, you have power. Knowledge is power. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding is power. It's greater than silver and gold.
Praise
God.
But you know what, Abiyah, if you wouldn't mind, I'm sorry, Brother Cartier.
Yes.
I want Cartier to read 22, because a lot of folk think other folk was around about that time. But now she's telling you her resume, who, what, when, where, and how, and why, that she can speak, and why you should listen to her. In verse 22, Cartier, can you clear that up for us, please?
I may comment on it, but I'm going to let Sister Abiyah read it because it's a feminine principle.
Okay. All right.
And the fact that it's a feminine principle, she broke Christianity. Because Christianity, they tell you, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. And they think that
it couldn't have been because wisdom was right there. In the beginning, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so where did I leave off? Where should I start back reading?
22,
okay. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his work of old. I was set up from the everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Then, when there were no deaths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountain abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the depths of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the heavenly part of his earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O children, for blessed are they that keep by my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door, For whoso findeth me, findeth me life, and shall obtain favor of the Elohim. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me loveth death.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Can't get over it, can't get around it, and certainly can't get on it.
No, sir. So that, like, Cartel, he was asking you about 22, so you want to see, Cartel, you want to air? I'm waiting for you.
Wisdom presents herself as our mother. Verse 32. Now, therefore, my son, yes, as my children, listen to me. Who's talking? Wisdom, our mother. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction. We hate instruction. Instruction only makes you wise. Don't refuse it. When you hear instruction, don't refuse it. Blessed is the man who hears me, watching daily, every day, not sometimes, not a couple of times, not every 5 months, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You always got to be looking for wisdom every day. For whosoever finds me, wisdom, finds life and will obtain favor of Yah. That's what we want, right? You want life and favor from Yah. In order to get that, you have to have wisdom. But he who sinned against me, who's sinning against wisdom? Those who hate instruction, those who think they wise in their own eyes, you can't tell them nothing. He's sinning against wisdom. And you're wronging what? Your own soul, not your life, but your soul. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. You don't love wisdom, that means you love death. You talk about you don't want to hear that. That's that old stuff. Oh, okay. This old stuff is powerful. All those who hate wisdom love death. And there's a lot of fools out here, aren't there?
Yes, indeed.
And they're wronging their own soul. So wisdom is our mother, and she wants us to listen to her, to be instructed by her so we can be wise and not refuse her words. So we should be all up in these Proverbs every day.
Okay.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Why?
All right, Cartier. Praise y'all. Thank you, Sister Abigail. Thank you, Brother Cartier. I think wisdom spoke clearly for itself. Her resume is clear. All the things in life that's worthwhile, if you want it, you need to be seeking her out. Not just one day. Excuse me, every day. Praise God and bless his holy name for wisdom and understanding. Cartrell, any other remarks before we get out of here?
No, not really. Just as always, I hope everybody seek Yah and praise Yah, obey Yah, and search out for wisdom. If you haven't started, start tonight. Start right away. So praise Yah and shalom and good night.
Yes, wisdom is the first thing that Yah created. Go back to the book of Genesis, the book of Bereshit. It says, in the beginning, Yah said, let there be light, and it was light, and it was good. What light was he talking about? Oh, we just found out tonight. First thing that Yah created was wisdom. It's the light of wisdom that Yah created. Because he created the sun, the moon, and stars on the fourth day. So that first light that he created was wisdom. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't the word. We just read the resume of wisdom. It just said, Yah made me as the beginning of his ways, the first of his works of old. And she was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the heavens and the earth were even formed. So this is a very essential chapter in understanding the Old Testament, which people don't really read and thoroughly go through. But if you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you know exactly what Genesis is talking about when Yah said, let there be light, and there was light. So all praise to the Holy of Israel. I hope that we brought some wisdom and understanding to your mind, and that your wisdom increases, that you seek her out, and that you be linked up with her and also in favor with the Most High. So good night. Shalom. We love y'all. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom. Good night. We love you. It's God, Trio. Sister Avia is about to say.
Praise God.
All right. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night.
Take me. I've been there once and I'll go again, just as long as you're the one to take me in. Like a free bird circling in the wind, I'll fly to your cage so you can take me in. Oh, won't you take me in? I've seen our mothers cry within, from our fathers who refuse to call us in. But I sing